This morning's scripture reading is from the book of Matthew. That's the first book in the New Testament. It's in chapter 7 and begins with verse 7. This is near the end of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave. And so it is he that is speaking. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or, if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Let us pray. Well, Father, just want to pray for Dave this morning. Thank for you for what you have laid on his heart. And by the inspiration of your word, may you inspire him that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us through Dave as he expounds on this passage to understand more and more. For sometimes, Lord, it seems like we ask and don't get what it is we expect. Or sometimes it seems like we seek and don't find. Or, Lord, sometimes we even fail to ask or to seek or to knock. By your Spirit, enlighten us this morning. And may you empower us, Lord, that we might truly do unto others as you would have us do unto them. And as we would have them do to us. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. As we were singing, I found myself all of a sudden in tears, listening to the full the fullness of the building this morning. And as we look at this subject this morning about asking, there probably are not many of you here that remember the days when I led the singing. Thanks, Brooke. Unforgettable. We did a lot of asking in those days. We did a lot of asking for the Lord to provide people that would be good and willing to lead the music. And I'm going to cry. To watch John and Brooke up there, I met them when they were kids. I never would have thought that they would have been the ones part of leading the music here. My sister-in-law. They were pastoring in Utah. I never would have imagined the day that they would have been a part of River Valley, let alone the music. And as we look at this subject of asking, our Father in heaven wants to give us good gifts. And when we ask for music, I never imagined that 17 years later, this is the gift that he gave us for music. And so those of you that weren't here at the beginning, you don't know how much I appreciate this morning. God has given us, God has given us a good gift. And then even to watch the kids leave. We prayed a lot for kids. We prayed a lot that we would have a program where we would have kids. And we'd see families come in with kids and we'd get excited. But because there was no other kids here, they went to another church that had kids. And so we just raised our own. And my kids aren't allowed to go to another church. But again, we did a lot of asking, and we're seeing how good God is, that when we ask for things, our Father in heaven wants to, desires to give us good gifts. And that was not at all in my notes, but it seemed applicable this morning as I sat and watched and just got to kind of reminisce over the last 17 years at River Valley here. What we asked for, and now seeing how God has given us and blessed us, and it's exciting. Back in 2010, the United Kingdom did a survey on lost drivers. And so they decided to figure it all out, and they found that men drive an extra 276 miles per year lost. But women, you are only 20 miles behind. So anyway, women were 256 miles driving lost, but that accounted for an extra $2,600 a year in fuel. So they found that 30% of men will pull over as soon as they figure out they're lost.
Oh, no way.
they discovered, they say, 37% of women will pull over as soon as they know they're lost. 25% of men wait 30 minutes before they will pull over. 12% won't pull over ever. 40% of men said that even if they do pull over and ask for directions, they don't trust the directions that were given to them anyway. These next two aren't gender specific. Drivers under the age of 25 get lost on an average of 37 times a year. And if you're over 55, that drops down to just 26 times a year. So if you're over 55, you have a little bit better chance of not being lost, or you're just smarter. Drivers under 25 will take an average of 22 minutes before they will pull over and ask for directions. And if you're in your mid-30s, and higher it drops, but in your mid-30s, they'll only drive for 15 minutes lost before they'll start pulling over. Ever since I was able to drive, this has been a fun and sometimes not-so-fun discussion. I'm sure we all have a story to tell. I can tell by the laughter and the comments that we all have a story to share about a spouse that maybe didn't pull over and ask for directions. How much time is wasted if we just don't stop to ask? James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, it says, "You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives." How often in life we get frustrated because life isn't working out the way that we thought it should. How often in life do we not stop and ask? We do not have direction in life because we haven't stopped to ask for direction in life. Or as the rest of James 4, verse 3 says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. How often do we stop and ask God, but the thing that we are asking for, we are asking for with wrong motives? What we want, we're kind of trying to manipulate and connive to make sure that it, yeah, we stopped and we asked, But we tried to kind of manipulate it so we're getting what we really want. We asked with wrong motives. Or how often did we stop and we didn't ask? We just told God what we want him to give us. And I think that might be the one that happens most often, is we just stop and we get down and we pray. And instead of asking, or at least we word what we want, kind of worded in an asking question, but really we're just telling God what we think would be best for us. And so this morning I want to spend us a little, just really the very first part of this passage. When I first started looking at this, I thought, here's a great passage, 3-point outline. We can ask, we can seek, and we can knock, and we'll, you know, it outlines itself. And by the time I got done outlining ask, I realized we didn't want to be here for 3 hours. So we're just going to look at ask, and maybe if Pastor Craig has me preach again, we'll look at seeking and knocking in a different message. But let's start with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you that we can come to you and ask, and I thank you that as our Father, you desire to give us good gifts. And so, Father, I pray this morning as we spend time in this topic of asking that you will just challenge us, challenge our hearts and our minds, and that we will desire to come to you, but we will desire to come to you how you want us to come to you. And then when we ask, you have promised to give us good gifts. And so we just ask that you will challenge our hearts and our minds this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if your personality is like my personality, but when I start off to do something or somebody asks me to do something, I like to know why. When I was working at the fire department and somebody would ask me to do something and give me no reason why or give me no real understanding of what the end goal was, I really struggle with that. I like to know why. I just can't sit down and do something and feel like, is there a purpose in this? As a parent, I try really, really hard to not use the answer, because I told you so. Now, that is a reason why, but I feel like it's not a great reason why. And so I'm thankful in God's word, when he tells us to ask, he doesn't just say, because I told you so. It's a valid reason, and it's good enough when it's coming from God, but he knows that often some of us, like me, we kind of need a little bit more than that. And so he gives us a couple of reasons why we should ask. And so I want to start there with why should we ask? And the first one, 1 Corinthians, I apologize, I'm going to be bouncing all over. I have found that one of the hardest sermons to prepare is a topical, and I feel bad sharing a topical because I'm going to bounce all over the place. We're going to be in Matthew and John and James, Philippians, 1 Corinthians, and so if you can keep up, do so, but if you keep your finger kind of in Matthew and James, those will be kind of two of the books that we'll be bouncing back and forth with. But in 1 Corinthians 10:31, kind of gives us our purpose for life, and it says in there that anything that we do, eating, drinking, sleeping, whatever we do all to the glory of God or for the glory of God. And so the first reason why we ask is for the glory of God. That's when it all is said and done, when we ask for something, at the end of the day, when we have received or before we have received or during the receiving, it is all for the glory of God. Matthew 7:11. Jim read this for us in our passage here. It says, "If then, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him?" He wants to give good gifts. He wants to give you a good gift because that good gift is going to bring glory to him. And as I look at our music and listen to the singing and see all the kids going out of here and the excitement that I have watching how God has given us good gifts, the glory goes to him. He has given us those gifts and he has given it to us so that he is glorified. And I felt this morning when we're singing and we have the fullness of the team like this and the fullness of the sanctuary, I get little goosebumps singing for how it all comes together and we see God glorified in the words that we sing in our actions there. And so our the biggest reason why we ask is so that God is glorified. A couple of days ago, well, a couple of weeks ago now, Parker had a birthday. And he was given a gift, and it was right near the end of his receiving gifts, and he had this one last one to open up. And when he pulled this little box out of the bag, he looked at it, and it looked like a nice box. And if any of you know what Pokemon are, it was a box that had a little Pokemon symbol on the top of it. And when Parker opened it, it was a priceless look on his face. And the gift came from our kids. It came from Noah and Austin and Faith. But he looked directly at Noah, and there was an exchange that happened that none of us really could follow. And he's like, "Are you serious?" And Noah looks at him and says, "Serious." And that was it. It was this little exchange that happened. But all of a sudden, I wanted to know what was in the box. And all of the kids did as well. And for a moment there, as you seen the look on Parker's face, you seen that he got a really good gift. But he took that and he kind of passed it back to Noah. And you seen that Noah gave Parker a really good gift. And so there was an exchange that happened there that we all got excited to see what this good gift was. And I still really don't understand it at all. It was these little pins, but they were excited. And it was a good gift. And that, like this passage says here, how much more does our Father want to give us good gifts? Noah was excited. The kids didn't give Parker that gift to get all the praise and glory, but for a moment it got passed back to them. They got the thank you that Parker wanted to give them in that exchange, and that's what God wants from us. He wants to give us a really good gift, and not only does he give us a really good gift, he gives us a perfect gift. And in that moment that we receive that perfect gift, he wants us then to look at him and our reaction to be such that the people around us are all of a sudden pointed towards God. And he gets the glory in that. And so the reason why God wants us to ask is so that when we receive, he gets all of the glory. The other reason why we are to ask is because we have needs. God knows we have needs. Matthew chapter 6, our worry passage, it says don't worry because he knows we have needs and he's going to provide for our needs, but he still wants us to ask. Go back one chapter to chapter 6 here in Matthew, a very familiar passage, but we see in verses 9 through 13, we have a passage of God teaching us how to ask. It's the Lord's Prayer. Most of us have it memorized. I'm going to read it, and I apologize if I intermingle King James with New American because I memorized it one way and have a different version here. But Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 9, reads, "Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen." As we look through this, we see a whole pile of things that God is telling us to ask for, things that will take care of our needs. The first one there is eternity. We have a need to live with God forever. And the first one there we see is praying for the kingdom come. Now, he was writing to the nation of Israel here, but for us, we pray. And we sang this morning, "Lord, come quickly." We pray and ask that Jesus will come again quickly to take us home. We have a need to spend eternity with God, and we look forward to that. We're to ask for it. How many of us on a daily basis are praying, "Lord, come back quickly"? I remember as a kid... Roger is. I remember as a kid that I thought, and I don't know where I got this thought, kids get weird thoughts, that as long as I thought that the Lord might come back that day, he wouldn't, because it was going to be a surprise. Trumpets in the air. And so as long as I thought every day that he was coming back, it couldn't be a surprise because I was thinking about it, and then I would live longer. Because at that point, I really didn't want the Lord to come back. I wanted to enjoy a little bit more of life. And so I wasn't asking that he came quickly. I was thinking of it with wrong motives. Now I pray. You know, I see where we're at in life and everything going on and just pray, Lord, come back quickly, please. We are also to pray for his will to be done, and we're going to dig into that one just a little bit deeper in a second here. He wants us to ask to understand his will. He wants us to ask for our daily provisions. And I think it's important that that word daily was put in there, because if he wanted us to pray for our weekly provisions or our monthly provisions, as soon as we got our weekly provisions, what would we not do tomorrow? We wouldn't ask. And he wants us to come to him daily, seeking the provisions that we need. Forgive us. We need forgiveness. And he knows that we need forgiveness, not just for sin in general, but our day-to-day sin. We need forgiveness. And we're to go and ask for that forgiveness. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we're to ask for guidance. We're to ask for protection. And he wants us to do that. He wants to protect us. He wants to guide us. And he wants us to ask for those things. We have physical needs. We have emotional needs. And we have spiritual needs. And you can go through this whole passage here and see all three of those things. He wants us to ask. And so we have needs. And he wants us to ask for them. And that's why we ask. That's why he wants us to ask, is so that he can take care of us. But at the end of the day, he wants us to ask so that he receives all of the glory. And so why do we ask? We ask because he gets the glory. We ask because we have needs and he wants us to give a good gift. But if you look at verse 7 in chapter 7 there, and you look at the words, ask, seek, knock, those are command words. He's commanding us to do that. And so we're to ask because he says so, is really when it all boils down to. He commands us to. And so we ask for his glory, we ask for our needs, and we ask because we are commanded to. So how should we ask? There's a how. And this comes back to another man thing. Generally, men are known for not stopping to ask for directions. Men are also kind of stereotyped. It's clearly just a bad stereotype for not reading directions either. I was replacing the ice maker in my refrigerator this last week. And I got the new one, pulled it out of the box, looked at it, and I've learned the hard way, but I've learned to pull everything out of the box. And so I pulled it all out of the box, had all these little baggies and wires and all sorts of stuff, and I glanced at all of them, made sure the box was empty. And then I looked at the old ice maker in the fridge, and I kind of went back and forth, I'm like, oh, this will be easy. And so I took the old one out and put the new one in, and it really was easy. Everything aligned and hooked up and matched. And then I noticed the little water spigot that goes into the ice maker wasn't quite sitting right. And I thought, well, that's going to make a mess in the freezer. And so I looked at the old one, and I noticed it had this really nice little spot, perfect for the water spout, and my new one didn't. And so I complained a little bit, and I looked at it and thought, man, it's a generic ice maker. It's made probably for 3 or 4 different models of refrigerators, and so I'll just have to kind of tweak it. Well, I pulled out the directions and looked finally, and I realized that before I was to install it, there's this little button that you're supposed to punch out, and that water spigot will fit in there just perfectly. And you know who I blamed? I blame the manufacturer. Because if they would have just punched it out at the factory, it would have solved everything. Clearly not my fault. I could have had that whole thing in without reading directions, if they would have done their job right. I learned I had to, and it's much harder to punch that little thing out when it's already installed. I learned that the hard way too. So God wants us to ask. He wants us to know how to ask. And the first thing we see is he wants us to ask with the right motive. Turn to James. James chapter 4. Mark stopped at this passage in Sunday school this morning. But he wants us to ask with the right motive. James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasure. So the first thing we have is that we need to ask with the right motives. Fortunately, God knows our heart. We can fool people a lot of times as to what our motives are. We cannot fool God. He knows exactly what our motives are. And if we ask with the wrong motive, if we're asking out of selfishness, he knows it, and we're not going to receive. We do not have because we ask with the wrong motives. And it goes on to explain that that motives is selfishness, so that we can get whatever it is that we're asking for, and we can have it for our own pleasure. 1 John chapter 5 and 13 then go on to say that we are to ask, and the right motive is according to God's will. And so we are to ask with right motives. We're to ask, part of that right motive is God's will. And so the question that always comes with that, whenever you bring up, you need to do it according to God's will, the next question from everybody is, well, how do I know what God's will is? And that actually came up at our Bible study last Tuesday. The question came, well, how do we know what God's will is for our lives? And it's really easy when we look at the general will. I can tell you a few very specific things that God's will is for your life. You are to evangelize. We are commanded. So I can say God's will for your life is to evangelize. It's very clear. If you're married, God's will for your life is to stay married. That one's pretty easy. We have some very generic, or not generic, but general things that God says, and that we know that his will is, but it's those little specific wills that are a little bit harder. Christy and I wrestled with this we've been wrestling with it for more than a few months, but it really came to a head the beginning of this year when the question came, do I step out of being a full-time firefighter and go into being a full-time real estate agent? And it was a wrestle. We wrestled with that. We went from, do I go from a job that guarantees me a paycheck every 2 weeks, great benefits, retirement, health insurance, job security? You look at all of that in one hand, and then you say, then I'm going to be a real estate agent, totally dependent on sales, no guarantee of a paycheck every 2 weeks, no benefits, health insurance. Looking at my boss over there. it's an entirely different world. And when the world looked at those two options, because I got it at the fire department when I announced that I wasn't going to be there, one of the guys all day, the first day he found out, just referred to me as stupid. And that's how I was called the rest of the day by him. It was, hey, stupid. Because it doesn't make sense in his world. And a person that isn't seeking after God's will, my decision made zero sense. In the human world, it doesn't make any. When I had all kinds of crazy job security, to not. And not a guarantee of income, it doesn't make sense. But as Christy and I spent a lot of time considering it and a lot of time praying about it, at the end of the day, in faith, we stepped out and said, this is what God's will is for our life. And that's when it comes to God's will, I can't give the answer to you, but I can tell you to ask for it. And I can tell you that God will give it to you, and God will, in faith, make it clear as to what you are to be doing. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul is wrestling with the same thing. He's sitting in prison, and he's going, man, to die is gain, which sounds kind of like an odd perspective. But he's sitting there in prison going, man, if the Lord would just take me home, how much better would I be? And then he looks at the other side of it and he goes, but to stay would be profitable because I'll have a fruitful ministry. Oh, but to be in heaven would be so nice. But how much more can I do here? And then just a little bit down, he goes, I am convinced that the Lord wants me to stay. And he says, I am convinced that I will be here. And we might say that to someone today and say, that's a little reckless, thinking that you know that what God's will is, that you could be that confident to say that the Lord's not going to take you home tomorrow. But in Philippians chapter 1, Paul said, I will be here to minister to you. He was confident and he was convinced of the Lord's will. And depending on which author you look at, Paul was around for another 10 to 20 years after he said that. And he was wrestling with the will of God, but he was convinced. And so I don't have an answer really to you what God's will is for your life, other than stop and ask. seek, and in faith he'll show you. So we need to ask with the right motive. We need to ask with the right attitude. And there's a lot of all of this stuff goes hand in hand together as we look at this. But we also, we need to be united with Christ. Turn to John. John chapter 15, we see part of having a right attitude. We need to be united with him. John chapter 15, verse 7 reads, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. If you abide in me, and I in you, or my words in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you." We are to ask in the name of Jesus. And so we need to be united with him. We need to be walking with him, because if we are going to ask for things according to his will, we need to be united with him. We also need to be united with believers. Matthew 18, again, a familiar passage that we go to, where it talks about where two or more are gathered in my name, and they ask together, according to the will of God, it will be done for them. And if we are not united with Christ, we're not going to be united with believers. If we are not united with other believers, we are not united with Christ. The two are very much interlinked. If I am at disunity with believers, and the disunity I'm blaming on myself, if I am at disunity with other believers, I am not at unity with Christ. And if I am out of fellowship with Christ and not united with him, I am out of fellowship with believers. And where two or more are gathered together and are united together, he will give us what we ask for, because, again, we're united together and we're asking according to his will. And I look at our building project as a perfect example of that, and the excitement that we've had going through this process. When we first came together and we started asking, we kind of set some goals of when we would start and how we would go forward, and the church was united. We came, and Pastor Craig has never asked us to just come and make a quick decision. He's always laid out the facts and the information in front of us, and then he'll send us home for a week, even though all of us here know what we want to do. He says, go home and pray about it and make sure we come back united together. And when we started this walk, we were united together. We started the path, and again, didn't work out exactly how we thought it was going to go. Pieces didn't fit the way we thought they should fit together, but we kept on asking. And when it took a little bit longer and we needed to do another soil test or another engineer this or engineer that, and it wasn't going the way we thought it should go, we came together and we kept on asking. And now it's not looking at all like we originally started, but we kept on asking. In this last meeting, when we came together to vote as to whether we're just pressing forward with what we have and how we have it, it was 100% unanimous that we would go forward. And that's exciting, as a body of believers come together, to have 100% of the people here vote to move forward on something like that. As believers, we can fight. We can be at odds with each other, and we can fight each other so often, and none of that brings glory to God. And it's been neat to see this building project here. As we have asked and we have sought God's will, there's been no fighting. We have not. Now, I know we haven't picked the color of the carpet yet, so there is still opportunity to fight. But God has given us unity. And I told Pastor Craig, our last elders meeting, I said, this has been really neat to watch the elders as we come together and we talk about how this is going to happen or this is going to work or this. You know, we don't all agree on how the details of the church are going to look. There are things that I have thought would be so much better if it was just done my way. But we have all sat in those meetings and we have all at the end of the day agreed on moving forward. And all of us at different points have said, you know, wouldn't it be better this way? But we've all sat down and worked through it, and we've all agreed. And we walk out of here at our meetings for the building project, and we've agreed. And we've come together united, because it's not about me. It's not about my desires or my wishes. It's about God being glorified. And I pray, and I know that God is going to put a building on his property down by the river here I hope it's in a couple of months, but could be another year or so. But we know that he's going to do that, and we have come together in unity, and we've asked. And so when we come together, we need to come, or when we come to the Lord, how he wants us to ask. He wants us to ask with the right motive. He wants us to ask with the right attitude. And last, he wants us to ask with the right kind of faith. Back to James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 read, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." How many of us have had a lost friend, a lost sibling, a lost someone in our lives that we know, and we watch how they live their life, we watch how they go about things, and we pray, Lord, change them. But deep down, we kind of say, God, I know you can change them, but I'm pretty sure you're not going to. And it's... we watch that person's attitude and their action and say, you know, I just don't see anything. I don't see it going to change. I see the hardness of their heart, and I don't see them changing. I know God can, but I really don't think he will. And that's this double-minded. I'm guilty. I'm thinking of myself in this, this asking with the wrong kind of faith. And this is the one where we're almost a little bit scared to kind of jump in wholeheartedly here, because what if I truly put all of my faith and belief that God's going to do it this way, and I absolutely know that he is going to do it, and it doesn't go quite that way. Was I wrong? Did God fail me? We have so many questions, so often we kind of just hold back a little bit. God, I know you can, but I'm not sure if you will. And that's not walking in there with the right kind of faith. And it's like... the faith is described, and I've used this example a lot, a guy who tightrope walked over Niagara Falls. And as he would kind of go back and forth on his tightrope, he started pushing a wheelbarrow across, and he'd carry things like a washing machine and all sorts of stuff across with his wheelbarrow. And then he asked the crowd that was there, and he said, "Who here thinks that I could put a person in this wheelbarrow and push it across?" And everybody was like, "Oh, yeah, we've just watched him go back and forth across on this tightrope for sure. I believe that you could do it with a person." And his next question was, "Who's getting in the wheelbarrow?" See, that's the kind of faith that we're talking about here. I know that he can, but I'm not sure that he will. And so we don't get in the wheelbarrow because we're not sure that he will. But God wants us to get in the wheelbarrow. He wants that kind of faith, the just absolute childlike faith that has no reservations when we're trusting in him. And we're just going to jump in the wheelbarrow and just know that he's going to get us across. So we need to ask with the right motives, the right attitude, and we need to ask with the right faith. The last thing we have here is, then what should we ask for? Do you know that they're already putting web pages out there and articles about the top gifts to buy for 2017 Christmas? Already the top 10 things that are the best 2017 Christmas gifts. Now, if you are here and have already started buying for Christmas next year, you're sick. There's a doctor's office right here. You should go visit him. That's just wrong. But there are already articles coming out about Christmas next year. The Amazon Echo Dot, number one Christmas gift for 2017. How many of you know what it is? those that know it are smiling. I know it. But anyway, it's the number one gift. I think the Apple Watch is number two on the list. I didn't really go through it that far. But they've already got it out. Now, I don't think those are the things that we're really going to spend a lot of time praying for and asking for. God does. He has put a list out there of things that he wants us to ask for. But before we get into what we should ask for, let's quick take a second and see what Jesus asked for, because he spent time praying and he spent time asking. John chapter 17. Yes, he is. We'll talk after. John chapter 17, looking at what Christ asked for. Verse 15 here, and we could actually go through this whole prayer here because he's praying for his disciples. And most of what Jesus asked for wasn't necessarily for himself. He was asking for us. But he asked for safety. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. He asked for our safety. He prayed that we would be safe. He didn't ask that we be removed from a dangerous situation. He just asked that we be protected while we go through that. I think that's something that we can pray for, is for safety. And we do all the time. We pray for people traveling. We pray for all sorts of things that are asking for people's safety. Jesus prayed for our safety through difficult situations. He prayed for our comfort through that. In John chapter 14, we see that he prayed for our helper. He prayed that God would give us the helper, the Holy Spirit. And we know that we have received the Holy Spirit as believers, and so we have the Holy Spirit. Jesus asked that God give us a helper. Here we see a couple of things in Matthew 26 that Jesus prayed for himself. This is as he was just about to enter up to the crucifixion. He had just finished the dinner with his disciples, and he's in the garden praying. And we see here chapter 26, verse 39 says, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." He prayed for relief. He prayed that the difficult situation that he was in, he asked that it be removed from him, if possible. He wanted the relief from that. But more importantly, the second thing that he prayed for is in verse 39 at the end, in verse 42. It says, "Yet not as I will, but as you will. Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." Even Jesus asked that God's will be done. And so we need to pray that we understand and we know and we pray for God's will all the time. So we ask for safety, we don't ask to receive the Holy Spirit, but we ask for help from the Holy Spirit, for relief from difficult situations, but ultimately we pray for God's will. James chapter 1, verse 5 started off with, if a man lacks wisdom, what do? We ask. And what does God do? He gives generously to those who ask for it. And I tell you, I need to maybe start doing a little more asking. Asking for wisdom. Matthew chapter 6, we looked at the Lord's Prayer. We're to ask for our provisions. We're to ask for all of those things that we need. And so really, to sum it all up very neatly, God wants us to ask for pretty much everything that we need. We could go through a long list through Scripture of all of the things that we can ask for, but at the end of the day, he just wants us to ask. Ask for the things that align with his will. At the beginning of this month, I was at some meetings, some mission meetings in Wyoming, and they started with this passage as a little devotional thought, and in Matthew chapter 7. And as he was reading it, he says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." And the guy leading this little devotion just started asking a couple of questions. And he said, "Does God always give you what you're asking for? Or does he just want you to ask and he will give to you what is good? Does God always show you what you are seeking for? Or does he just want you to seek and he will show you what is good and perfect? Does God always open the door that you are knocking on? Or does he just want you to knock and he will open the door that is best for you?" We've often heard the old adage, you can't steer a parked car. If we're not asking, we're not going to be receiving. If we're not seeking, we're not going to be finding. If we're not knocking, the door isn't going to be opened unto us. We might not get what we ask for, but he wants us to ask. That's really what he wants us to do. We are his dear children. And think about your kids or grandkids or nieces and nephews, people around you, or friends. How much fun is it to give a good gift? How much more does God your Father want to give you that perfect gift? All he asks us to do, all he tells us to do, is ask. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your love for us. Thank you this morning that you have loved us so much that you desire us to have good gifts, that you desire for us to just come to you and ask. And so, Father, I pray this morning that we have been challenged to just come to you. We may not even know what we're asking for or really how to come before you, but, Father, all you want us to do is come to you and ask. And so, Father, I pray that we will. I pray that at the end you are glorified when we receive that good, good gift that you desire for us to have. Thank you for loving us so much that you give to us. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.